You know, Christianity, our faith, is full of nice sounding phrases that, you know, when you hear them, they give you the warm fuzzies, and isn't that nice until you have to put them into practice? For example, love your neighbor as yourself. Doesn't that sound nice? Until you're the one who has to love your neighbor the way that you love yourself, especially if your neighbor is obnoxious or something like that. It's not so easy. And another one of those things that we keep hearing in Christianity that comes up over and over again is the need to forgive our neighbors. And again, we all, when we're on the receiving end, we all want to be forgiven. When we come to the church, we all want God to forgive our sins, and we all want people to look on us with clemency. But when we're the ones who have to do the forgiving, when somebody has offended us one way or another, intentionally or not, sometimes the offense is just simply because we're hypersensitive. There's a lot of that today, frankly. Then we have to really stop and think twice, right? Well, why do we resist the concept of forgiving people? It seems like it's a good thing to do, theoretically. And it seems like, you know, wouldn't the world just be a better place if everyone would be willing to forgive? And the short answer to that is yes. Yes, it would. But why do we reject or resist that tendency? And it's as simple as this. Behind it, there is the feeling, there has been an injustice done to me. And if I forgive the person, am I not saying somehow or other that what they did was okay? Or am I not saying somehow or other that the injustice really didn't matter that much? Or I heard a couple of years ago, one time when some priest somewhere was preaching on forgiveness, one of the parishioners came and complained afterward to the pastor, saying, "Father, you are preaching enablement. Every time we forgive people, we are enabling them to continue offending and hurting people and doing it, and that is wrong." And I'm like, well, man, if you take forgiveness out of the gospel, you may as well just change religions. It's like, why did Jesus get nailed to a cross if not to forgive sins, right? So, but there is that tendency. There's something in us that says, no. Okay, the reality is, in the spiritual life, there is nothing that is more toxic. Somebody back there doesn't agree with me. She's rejecting forgiveness. No. There is nothing that is more toxic in the spiritual life than the lack of forgiveness. And frankly, for example, when you do deliverance ministry, now I am not an exorcist, but those who are will frequently say, do you know what the number one cause for people to get into problem with demonic either oppression or possession or different kinds of demonic attacks are? I mean, there are plenty of things. People get messed up in the occult. People sometimes just some big mortal sin that they do and that they tend to cling to. But the number one cause is a forgiveness issue. And it usually has to do with something, for example, somebody whose parents were abusive when they were young, and they grew up in that environment through no fault of their own, and they've been wounded, and they cling to that wound. And they are incapable of letting go of that, and there's a forgiveness issue, and that becomes the gateway. And when you are doing deliverance ministry of any sort, what is the number one thing that we do, the first step of all? Get them to sacramental confession, more important than anything else. Frankly, by the way, confession is more powerful than exorcism. Every exorcist will tell you the same thing. Get them to sacramental confession and lead them into a process of forgiveness. That is, generally speaking, the number one thing. The first and one of the most important steps, if not the most important step, in any deliverance ministry. The same thing is true in healing, physical healing. The church, Deacon and I are actually starting out a course together, the Encounter Ministries course here, but in healing ministry, whether it's emotional healing, spiritual healing, or even physical healing, one of the first steps, and frequently the most important root cause, is the need to forgive. And in some of the books that I read, there have actually been people who are physically healed of their ailments because of a forgiveness issue. Like when they finally break through and have the spiritual transformation that takes place through forgiveness, physically, they get better. It's as if the devil is able to use that weakness somehow to even attack physically and cause issues. Recently, some years ago, I saw a TED video. You know how TED videos are normally like my homilies are about 45 minutes long and you don't know what they're talking about? So, no, this TED video is the best video I've seen by TED, and it lasts just over 5 minutes. So it was a New Yorker. He was a first aid, like a critical respondent, you know, first respondent in Suffolk County out there. And his story is this, briefly. He says, look, my job is to show up as a first responder to people that are in critical condition. So when you see these highway accidents and stuff, and he says, we are trained. There's something called impending doom. When you see somebody in this hopeless situation, and you know, frankly, we're not going to be able to help them, the person will generally ask the question, am I going to die? And this guy says, look, we were trained to lie. And why were we trained to lie? Well, you're trained to bring comfort, right? And the mentality is, if I tell this person the truth, and they're in those last moments, will they not die panicking, just clinging to life and, you know, in this state of horror and shock and everything? And for years, he said, this is what I did. He said, and one day, though, he doesn't even know the reason, but one day I decided to tell the truth. This lady got T-boned, you know, high speed, and it took him like 45 minutes to get her out of the car. She was long dead by the time I peeled her out of there. But the person looks at him and says, am I going to die? And he says, I figured out it is not my place to lie to them. I told her, yes, you're going to die very soon, and there's nothing I can do about it. And he said, you know, her reaction was not at all what I expected. It was just simply closing her eyes and kind of with a sense of peace and accepting it. And he said, time and time again, this is what I found. Okay. But he also discovered three things. He says, this cuts across all races, ages, nationalities, religions, everything. He says, basically speaking, in the moment of death, there are three things that the people will universally express. The first one is the desire for forgiveness. I wish I had reconciled with fill in the blank. I wish I hadn't let this problem fester. I wish I had spent more time with so-and-so. The desire to be reconciled at the end of our lives is the number one thing that universally across the board that we will experience. Now, by the way, all three of these symptoms or all three of these things that this guy was talking about, if you live holy lives, holiness of life will counteract each three of these concerns. If you are living a saintly life, the desire and the need for reconciliation will already be taken care of because you have already been living such a life. Okay. Secondly is the desire to be remembered. Will they remember me? And a lot of times it's kind of pathetic. It's like, doctor, will you remember me? Because nobody else will. The desire to be remembered. And thirdly, it is, did my life have meaning? Did I make a mark? Was the world any better for my having existed in it? Okay? So we see, again, in the forefront is the need for forgiveness. So what does forgiveness mean then? Because here's the, you know, we all think it sounds wonderful until you have to do it. Well, first of all, forgiveness does not mean the following. Forgiveness does not mean that whatever you did to me, it was okay. It really, no problem. For example, let's pretend you have an alcoholic spouse or an abusive parent or an unfaithful spouse or you were relentlessly bullied as a child or whatever the particular thing was. We are not saying, that's okay, it was really no big deal. If it was no big deal, you would have nothing to forgive. It's precisely because it was a big deal. It's precisely because there was an injustice that you have something to forgive in the first place. So it's, we're not saying, you know, it doesn't really matter. It did matter. It was important. It hurt me. Secondly, we're not saying, well, I forgive you, and therefore, automatically, you have total access to me in case you want to do it again. Because frankly speaking, people are wounded. And to say that I forgive you does not necessarily mean that I trust you. Okay? For example, I'm going to use, go back to a case of an alcoholic or a drug addict. You can be close to, you can be married to, or have a child or a friend who is addicted to alcohol or drugs. You can love them dearly. You can forgive them their sins. That doesn't necessarily mean you totally trust them right now because they have an addiction. And even if they have all the good intention in the world, they may have moments of weakness and fall again. And when they fall again, they may do things that hurt you. And if, for example, you have small children around, you can't be exposing them to this person who may do things that are hurtful by his actions or attitudes or even violence or whatever the case may be. So it doesn't mean the fact that I forgive you means you automatically get a clean slate and full access. It means that you are wounded, but I choose to love you. And I value you more than I hate the wounds and the woundedness that you tend to cause. It doesn't mean, forgiveness does not mean it's a one and done. What do I mean by that? It's not like I finally get up the gumption to forgive a person who's deeply hurt me and everything disappears. The reality is forgiveness is a process. And you're going to have to do it over and over and over again. Why? Because there's still a wound. You know, forgiveness is kind of like putting on the bandage and cleaning out the wound and everything and allowing the process of healing to begin. As long as it's infected or as long as there's still a piece of glass or something in there, it's not going to get better. Forgiveness is it's that process of pulling out the glass and cleaning the wound so that it can heal, but the wound is still going to be there. And that means I forgive you today, but tomorrow I may wake up and still have memories and still have to go through the process again. I may have to forgive you again. And something else will happen, and it may touch that wound, and I will feel the reaction, and I will have to forgive you again. It's a process. But it is a process that leads to our healing. So what does forgiveness mean? Ultimately, and this is what St. Paul's letter to the Romans that we did in our second reading, it ultimately means, you know what? My life is not all about me. Because in the end of the day, when we don't want to forgive, it's a defensive mechanism. We're saying, I've been hurt, I'm a victim. We place ourselves at the center of the universe, and then we put up shields and we protect and hold out all those people out there that could possibly do anything to hurt me. But if your life isn't about you, if your life is rooted in Christ, if God is the center of our lives, then everything changes. Somebody can hurt me, but I can still, my meaning, my strength, everything is coming from Christ. It's a different story. And that is why our faith enables us to forgive. That is why martyrs die forgiving the people that are killing them. Because their lives are grounded in Christ, and He is the one that gives them meaning. So in this Mass, we're about to receive the Eucharist, where Christ chose voluntarily to suffer and die for our sins. And He chooses in this Mass to come in the Eucharist so that we can receive His love. So my invitation is this. When we receive Jesus in communion, we'll have a couple moments of silence afterward. Let's each try to bring to mind, is there anybody out there? Is there anything that I need to be reconciled of? Is there anything, any wound in the past that still carries weight in my life? And let's bring it to our conversation with Christ in the Eucharist and allow Him to begin the process of healing and of forgiveness. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.